My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Back for a new episode, a new series, a new year with a brand new logo. If you've not listened to the podcast before, welcome along. We're here every other week just talking about Walt Disney World. So make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it be Spotify or Apple Podcasts, so you don't miss a single one. Make sure you follow us on the socials as well. Pod Magical is what you need to look out for. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now on TikTok. Yeah, at Pod Magical, which is where you can also go to send your questions. So we answer your questions every episode in a podcast when it comes down to Walt Disney World planning, whether it's restaurant recommendations or anything to do with making sure you have a good time on holiday. Just send me over a question, Pod Magical. I'll do my best to answer it. Remember, this podcast has got nothing to do with Walt Disney World. I'm not paid by them. I'm not sponsored by them. I don't get anything for free. I don't get any favors from them. It's just me giving you my opinion just so that I want you to have a great time when you go to Walt Disney World. So I'll do my best to answer. For this episode of the podcast, I'm not answering one question in particular that's come in, but I was at Walt Disney World just before Christmas, so we haven't done a podcast since then. And the one question that people were asking, because obviously I've not been there for like 2 years, most people haven't, we've not been able to go. The question most people said is, Andy, is the magic still there? And I can confirm, the magic is still there. And I would say the most magical place on earth is probably even more magical when you've not been for such a while. You forget about so many things. It's like when I was on Soarin' and the smells came. I thought, do you know, I've completely forgotten about these smells. All my senses were woken up again, and the cast members were just fantastic. The cast members were just as brilliant as ever before. I don't even think they know how much they can make a holiday. Just beautiful comments and just being there and being nice. So yes, the magic is still there. Yes, you've got to wear face masks. Everybody was wearing face masks. There was no questions about cast members getting into problems with people who weren't wearing them. Everybody stuck to the rules. Everybody over the age of two indoors had a face mask on in the parks and the hotels or on transport, wherever they had to be. Everybody stuck to the rules. And because we're used to it, it didn't really matter. Genie Plus, did I like Genie Plus? Did that ruin the magic? I'll talk about that a bit later on or over the next few episodes of the podcast. Various experiences with Disney Genie Plus. Yes, it was great on one point. Another point, I thought, well, is there much point to it? In fact, I've got a top tip at the end of this episode that will make your trip even more magical, and it won't cost you anything. I'll tell you that at the end. But right now, we're going to get over to this week's podcast guest. We've got a brand new guest sharing their magical memories on every episode. If you'd like to be a guest, by the way, all you need to do is drop me a message. Once again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. At Pod Magical. First podcast guest for 2020 is Sarah. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thanks, Andy.
So, always like to start by introducing yourself and your love for Walt Disney World. Why do you love Walt Disney World?
I think it's because there's lots of things, but I think it's mainly the nostalgia element of it. Whenever you go back, the parks still stay the same. They don't really change. The fundamentals of them are always there, and it's like coming home. You know, they say welcome home.
Yeah.
And I really get that feeling. But also, they're also constantly innovating. There's always new rides, there's always new things to see, and I think no matter how many times you go back, you'll never have the same experience. There's always something new to do, so it's you'll have a different experience every visit.
You're right, actually. It's that familiarity of walking down Main Street. You could have walked down Main Street 50 years ago when it first opened, and it still feels the same, but there's always something new, be it Star Wars Land or Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. There's always something new going on, isn't there?
Exactly, yeah. And there's still things. I mean, I've been quite a few times, and there's still rides that I haven't done or shows I haven't seen, food I haven't eaten. So yeah, it's always a reason to keep going back.
Are you a bit of a Walt Disney World foodie?
I love the food. That's Ooh. A massive part of it for me as well.
Right, yes, well, we'll get some of your best recommendations for restaurants very soon. But first up, tell me, so you've been a few times. When was the first time you went to Walt Disney World?
It was all the way back in 1992.
Oh, wow.
Six. Yes.
That is quite a way back, 30 years ago. So I'm guessing you were a mere child when you went first time round.
Yeah, I was six, nearly seven, and I can't remember a whole lot about it, to be honest. I remember loving it, and the main thing I can recall is the Tomorrowland Speedway. I loved that. I thought that was just the coolest thing ever. But apart from that, it's a little bit hazy, I have to say.
Have you still got pictures from that first trip?
I think so, somewhere. We did have like home videos, but I don't know where, I don't know what happened to them. But yeah, there's pictures and videos.
With a huge camcorder.
Yes, that's it, yeah.
And can you remember how many times you've been back since 1992?
We went three times when I was a child, and I think I've been back another five times as a grown-up.
What's better, going as a kid or going as a grown-up?
Adult, 100%. Definitely appreciate it more, yeah.
Is a particular favourite memory out of all those visits?
I've got a couple. I think going with my now husband, we just got engaged when he'd never been before. So going with him and seeing how much he loved it, because he's a massive Disney fan. He loves all of the films. So he thought it was amazing. To be able to share that with him was great. But I think my most favourite was going back as a family, as an adult. And we stayed on Disney for the first time. And we didn't really have any kind of, we didn't really have really particularly high expectations of what it was going to be like. It was kind of pre-TripAdvisor, not pre the internet, but you know, there wasn't all of the information available that there is now, so we felt like we were going in a bit blind. I remember being in the travel agent and looking at this kind of tiny little picture of the pool at Caribbean Beach, and that was all we really had to go on. And because it was described as moderate, we thought, it doesn't really sound that promising. Like, moderate was all, I didn't realise it what moderate meant. But obviously we turned up and just were blown away by it. We thought it was so lovely, and we had the dining plan, and we again, before we went, we thought, I wonder if that's going to be enough food, we weren't really sure. Yeah, it is enough food. So just, yeah, going there and experiencing staying at Disney for the first time and just realising how amazing it is, that's probably my favourite.
Caribbean Beach is quite often a first resort for a lot of people. It's like the first place it would stay would be Caribbean Beach.
Yes.
And have you stayed at Disney since you've been back, or was that just a one-off, or did you get hooked into the Disney hotels?
Yeah, every time we've gone back as adults, we've stayed on Disney. I think once you've stayed on Disney, it's really hard to go back.
Yeah.
So we've stayed at Caribbean Beach again. We've stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, and we've stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I was going to say, which is your favourite? I could probably guess it's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
It's not, actually.
No?
It's Caribbean Beach. Yeah. Yeah, I love the atmosphere of it there. It's just, it's so kind of tropical and pretty. And I think when you're coming from rainy old UK, to go somewhere that feels so kind of holiday-ish when you're already in Disney.
Yeah.
I really, really loved it there. Animal Kingdom Lodge, it's beautiful, and I know it's really popular. I know lots of your listeners have said, oh, that's where they like to stay or where they'd want to stay. I think we found it a little bit far out. It felt like we were on buses for a long time. So it's amazing. It's just whatever kind of takes your fancy. But yeah, I'm a Caribbean Beach girl.
And of course, Caribbean Beach has now got the Skyliner, which takes you into Epcot and Hollywood Studios. So time saving, right?
Yeah,
there.
They were in the thick of building it when we were last there, but it wasn't finished. So
have you got another trip planned?
Thinking about it and talking about it, nothing booked yet, but we're hoping for maybe late spring next year.
Okay,
2023.
Because you have got a baby, haven't you? So you're just waiting for...
Yes, got a six-month-old. So waiting for her to get a little bit older, where she can hopefully take a little bit of it in and enjoy kind of how colourful it is and the characters. And yeah, she'll hopefully get something out of it as well.
And you can see it all through her eyes for the first time as a mum.
Exactly, yeah, that's the beauty of it. You know, going as a child and now going back with my own child is really special. And I think, yeah, what lots of people find lovely, that kind of comes full circle.
Let's delve into the parks then. Let's talk about some of your favourite things. Have you got a particular favourite attraction?
I do. It's probably Splash Mountain, which my husband will find funny, because I have gone on it and then got straight back off. Like, I bottled it. I couldn't do it. I don't know why, because it's not even particularly scary, but I got it into my head that I didn't want to do it. But then I did, yeah, get my nerve together, and I did it, and it's brilliant. I had done it as a kid, but yeah. I just got the fear as an adult. But when I finally did it, it's so much fun. And it's long as well, so you feel like even if you've queued, you kind of get bang for your buck, because it's a good sort of 10-15
years. Yeah, it's quite a long one. Great. My only fear about Splash Mountain is, it's not the fear of the drop, it's the fear of getting a wet bottom. And then, especially if you go like December, January, when it's not too, it's not the Florida sunshine, and you've got that wet bum for a few hours. That's my only fear.
It's not the best. Yeah, I know.
What about parades and fireworks and shows? Are you loving all that as well?
I do, yeah. The parade probably less so. I know that's controversial. I mean, if it's there and it's going by, I'll stand and watch and really enjoy it. Same with the fireworks. I think of an evening, we'd probably rather be out having a meal and a drink, and if we happen to be in a park when they're on, then brilliant. But it's probably not my most favourite.
A lot of people do kind of like, they'll go, well, come on, let's skip the fireworks. We've seen it once. We've seen Enchantment, the new one. Once we've seen it, it's all right, but you know, this is the time now at Magic Kingdom when the queues go down a little bit because everybody's out front watching the fireworks. Let's just jump on Seven Dwarfs. Yeah. Well, it's a little bit quieter. Not a bad idea. So, Sarah, let's get to it then. You're a Disney foodie, so we're going to come back to you and get your restaurant recommendations, okay?
Okay.
We'll chat some more with our podcast guest, Sarah, very soon. Let's get you a quick news roundup now, all the latest things that are coming over from Orlando. The last couple of days, it's been announced that the long-awaited Rodeo Roundup Barbecue, the table service restaurant coming to Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios, is a step closer. It will open this year. We're going to be, once again, in Andy's backyard, shrunk down to the size of a toy, but in a rodeo style. It's a rodeo. It's barbecue food. Also, there's going to be a brand new shop, which is going to be attached to it, Jesse's Trading Post. Also, there's some more restaurants reopening at Walt Disney World. It's hard to think that not every restaurant is open yet. The latest to reopen include Flying Fish at the Boardwalk, the Turf Club Bar and Grill at Saratoga Springs, and Gico the Cooking Place, which is a big favourite over at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. They're going to be reopening, as is over at the Beach Club. Cape May Cafe, the buffet, is going to reopen for breakfast. I've done the buffet there. It's quite cheap, actually. It used to be a character breakfast with Daisy and Donald in their beach gear. No characters returning as yet, but the restaurant will be reopening for breakfast very soon. And also, one more big story. Popcorn buckets. We've been going crazy for popcorn buckets over at Epcot. The Festival of the Arts is now on, and as soon as they announced there was going to be a Figment popcorn bucket, we knew it was going to go crazy. Did we expect, though, that people would be queuing for 6 hours to get the Figment popcorn bucket? You see, there's a lot of love for the classics, because also at Festival of the Arts as well in the evening, Spaceship Earth gets lit up, as it has been doing since the 50th anniversary celebration started. But there's a very special Muppets makeover at night on Spaceship Earth, where it changes to a rainbow and plays Rainbow Connection. See, there's love for Figment and there's love for the Muppets. There's some good IP that Disney are really getting hold of. We'll keep you up to date with any news that comes through, of course, between now and the next podcast, over on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are at PodMagical. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest, if you love talking about Walt Disney World, you can go on there and send me a message as well. That's what Sarah did. Let's get back to more of her Walt Disney World memories. So, where should we be eating at Walt Disney World?
So, my favourite restaurant is probably not the one I've had the best meals ever. The favourite meals I've ever had have been at probably California Grill, Narcoozie's in Grand Floridian, and the Yachtsman Steakhouse. They've all been amazing. Mm. But where's consistently good, and where we'll always make an effort to go, is Raglan Road in Disney Springs. It's brilliant there. The food is, consistently great. There's really amazing atmosphere. They put a really good show on. It's such good fun. So that's my top pick, and probably doesn't get too much. It's a bit under the radar, I think. I'm not sure everyone knows about it.
Do you know what? I've never been, and my next trip, because I'm taking my mum, and she loves Irish music and Irish dancing. I'm thinking, why have we never? I've been with my mum loads of times, but we've never been there. So I'm thinking, why have we never been there?
Yeah, she'll absolutely love it.
What's on the menu that you would recommend?
Hopefully they still do it, because it's been a while, but they had this, it's like a gammon sort of ham type creation, with mashed potato, and I think it had like a cranberry sauce with it. It was delicious. I'm not doing it enough justice, but it was amazing. And then for dessert, they have this bread and butter pudding that comes with custard. And I think they actually had to make this portion smaller because I think it was actually illegal how many calories were in it. So it was clearly a great dessert when that happens. And that was just amazing. And they do nice beers and wines and all sorts in there. So it's, yeah, it's fab. Your mum will love it.
But surely calories don't count when you're at Walt Disney World. When you go through that arch, that's calories are left at the door, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, of course they are. You're walking about 20,000 miles a day, so it's all good.
And what about snacks? Do you like the Disney snacks? Have you got a particular favourite snack?
Do you know what? I'm not really a snacker, purely because we normally, and I really, really hope it comes back, we've taken advantage of free dining. So when we have the dining plan, we normally use our snacks for breakfast. So it's probably a bit sacrilegious, but I normally use the snack credit for like a bagel or something in the morning, just grab a quick breakfast, and then we go to town for lunch and dinner. That's normally where my snack credits end up. But yeah. I've never had a Dole Whip, so next time I go, I know that is definitely what a snack credit will be used for. Because I've never had one.
And if you just happen to be wandering outside Magic Kingdom, by the way, if you go over to the Polynesian, you can get a Dole Whip there, and the queues are like next to nobody. If you just happen to be over there,
tip.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to stay at the Polynesian. If money was no object, that would be my top resort choice.
Resort hopping is always quite a good thing. Like if you're having a Magic Kingdom day, and you're doing rope drop to fireworks. Take an hour out of the day because you can walk now from Magic Kingdom through to the Grand Floridian, and then over to the Poly. So.
Lovely.
That's always a nice
thing. What we did once actually was take the boat from Magic Kingdom over to Wilderness Lodge and we sat outside. Is it Geyser Point? I don't know how you say it.
I love it, Geyser Point.
Oh, it's lush, isn't it? Yeah, they've got that terrace where you can look over the water and they do great food there and nice drinks and it's really, really relaxing and, you know, feels like you're in the middle of nowhere but you're 5 minutes from the Magic Kingdom. It's really nice to chill out in the middle of the day.
Yeah. If you're having a Magic Kingdom day, you're going to be there all day. Just don't go for try and find food in the park. If you've got all day, jump on a boat, go to one of the resorts where it's a bit quiet. And like you say, you can sit out there by the lake. Oh, it's fantastic. I am there now. Is there anything that is no longer a Walt Disney World from your first trip? Well, you probably won't remember 1992, but I'm sure things have come and gone. Is there anything you're thinking, it's a shame they got rid of that?
I think not one particular attraction or ride, but I think Hollywood Studios as it was. I'm sure Star Wars Land is amazing. It was just about to open the last time we went, but it hadn't quite, so we missed it. And I'm sure that's incredible. My husband loves Star Wars. My brother-in-law does as well. So I know they will have done an amazing job of it. But back in the day where they still had Streets of America and great movie ride and the Batlock tour and all of that, I loved that. Hollywood Studios has changed massively and I'm sure it will be amazing again in the future, but it was very much in that transitional period last time back in 2018 and it kind of felt like they were sort of shutting a lot of it down and rebuilding it, so kind of like to see it restored to its former glory.
You were there when it was like half a park, but and Rise of Resistance is fantastic now when you go on that next time you go.
Oh, so I've heard. You managed to get on it?
Oh, a couple of times.
Brilliant.
Got me $15, but you know, it was worth it. It was worth Lightning Lane just
worth
for that.
Every penny.
Worth every penny, without a doubt. Is there any guilty pleasures that you've got? You know, we're all friends here on the podcast. We all love Walt Disney World. So is there anything you can tell us that you like, but, you know, outsiders will laugh at you?
Well, I think no such thing as a guilty pleasure in Disney World. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But I would probably say I'm not really one for the big thrill rides. I'm a bit of a baby. So what I do quite like to do when other members of my family are doing those rides, sit there with a little drink, a little cocktail, watch the world go by. It's 12 o'clock somewhere normally. So I think have a drink and just soak in the atmosphere. It's what I like to do.
That is such a good thing to do. Yeah, people watching, soaking it up. You see a lot more as well.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yeah, it's great fun. It's nice to just stop and take a few minutes because it can be so full on and so busy, which is great. But to just, take a moment and absorb it all is a nice thing to do.
Well, we've got a top tip coming up at the end of this episode. So maybe we've kind of touched on that there a little bit. Wait until the end. Do you go outside Disney when you go? Do you venture outside the bubble? Do you go to Universal or SeaWorld or Busch Gardens or anything else in Florida?
We have done. When we went as kids, we did all of it. We did Universal, Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, I think Cypress Gardens is a blast from the past for me. I think that's
Legoland.
We did all of it. And then when we went back, I can't remember the year, maybe 2015 15 or 16, we did do Universal, and it wasn't for me. I know it's amazing and people rave about it if that's your thing, but being a Disney girl, it's not got the charm of Disney.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't go back again. I'm 100% Disney.
Yeah, not every time.
No, it's good to see it, and apparently they've really raised their game as well, and it's supposed to be amazing, and they've got really amazing hotels and resorts, so I've heard. So
yeah, they've got some good resorts. Yeah, there are some nice resorts at Universal. Any top tips? I know things are a little bit different now from when you went last. We're getting in the parks half an hour earlier, and there's no dining plan, as you say, and there's no fast passes, but do you have any particular tips that you would recommend if people, when it either comes to booking or going?
I would say my mum normally takes care of the booking, so I can't offer too much advice.
So call your mum is what is the tip.
Yeah, call mother.
Call mum.
She's brilliant. When you're actually there, a couple of small tips. I would say if you're going in the colder months, we normally go in October, take a jumper for the evening, because although it's lovely and warm during the day, they keep the air conditioning on at night and it is freezing. So you definitely, being a Brit, take a jumper or a scarf. I would also say, if more generally, if there's something you're not happy with, which, you know, is unlikely because it's Disney and everything's brilliant, but if you've got a niggle or if something's not quite as you want it, tell them, because that's happened to us just a couple of times, and we've politely said to guest relations or people at our hotel, and they've always gone way out of their way to make up for it, whether it be, you know, fast passes, or, well, that's probably not a thing anymore, but we used to get some fast passes back in the day, or they might reimburse dining credits, or just they'll do things to make it right. So don't go around complaining, and, you know, just for the sake of it. If you have got a grievance, tell them, and they'll make it right. They're brilliant at that.
Well, on my last trip, I got stuck on Spaceship Earth for half an hour. You know the end bit where you're coming down backwards, and it just stopped. And we're on there for half an hour at the end of the day, and we did get a couple of free lightning lanes. They went, sorry for this, but here's some lightning lanes. It's the end of the day, so you can use them tomorrow at any park. So they still do things like that.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's a good place to get stuck, though. I often think right at the end, that's when you're looking up at the stars. That's a really nice place.
I was quite happy with the rest, to be honest with you. After a long day walking around World Showcase, it was quite nice just to sit there and listen to, is it Judy Dench, isn't it?
Yes. Apparently they're getting rid of her, which I'm,
well, we'll see.
Judy.
There was supposed to be like a revamp of it before the pandemic, but obviously that's all been put on hold at the moment. So, Sarah, I'm giving you your perfect Disney day. Your perfect day at Walt Disney World, from rope drop to fireworks, or whatever you do, wherever you stay, what would you do? How would you spend it?
If money was no object, I'd stay at the Polynesian, and then I would actually go to Typhoon Lagoon in the morning. I'd get a minivan over there because I absolutely love the water parks. I don't think they get the love that they deserve. They're brilliant. They're one of my most favourite days. So I'd have the morning at Typhoon Lagoon, and I'd do all of the rides there. Crush and Gusher is one of my absolute favourites. So that would be the morning, and we would splash out and get one of the cabanas because they're really lovely and a nice treat if you want to have a particularly relaxing and nice time. Then I think we would go back to the resort and chill out, have some lunch, and then we would go to Magic Kingdom in the afternoon, do Splash Mountain, do Big Thunder, kind of as many as we could fit in, and then we would finish up by having dinner at California Grill and looking at the fireworks. Having said, I'm not that bothered about fireworks. When you watch them from California Grill, they are amazing. That's one of the best things we've done, was have dinner there
with a cocktail in your hand outside.
Absolutely, of course. Yeah, brilliant.
That sounds like the perfect day. Perfect. And of course, at some point during that 24 hours, you're going to have a Dole Whip, aren't you? Promise me.
I must, definitely. Have a Dole Whip, yes.
Next time you go, Dole Whip.
Yes, a must.
Sarah, thank you for sharing your memories. Lovely talking to you.
You too. Thank you for having me.
And have a magical day.
Thanks, Andy, and you.
If you have Walt Disney World memories that you'd like to share on the Podcast One episode, get in touch. We'll get you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are at Pod Magical. Don't forget to give us a like, give us a follow, send me a message if you want to come on. If you're off to to Orlando over the next couple of weeks. Lucky you. The weather should be really nice, actually. It's kind of like the low 20s at the moment. And over the next couple of weeks, it's going to go to kind of like mid-20s. A little bit chilly at night, but should be mostly dry. You've got those beautiful Florida blue skies in the morning as well. Quite a lot going on. You've got the Festival of the Arts at Epcot, which is on over the next few weeks. See if you can get yourself a Figment popcorn bucket. Over at Universal, they've got Rock the Universe next weekend, followed by the Mardi Gras with the Mardi Gras parade and some live bands performing. That starts at the 5th of February at Universal Studios in Orlando. And if you fancy some live music and you want to venture out a little bit, over at the Dr. Phillips Centre, Gladys Knight. No pips, but Gladys Knight will be on over there on Friday the 4th of February. Crowds, by the way, at the moment should be pretty nice. Got the first marathon weekend out of the way. There is another one in February, the Princess's weekend. So between now and towards the end of February, it should be pretty quiet. A little bit busy at weekends, but crowds should be fair to moderate. Don't forget, if you are going, tag us in your pictures. If you're putting anything on your Instagram story in particular, tag us at Pod Magical, then we can share it on our story. I always like to round off the podcast with a top tip of the week. And as this is the first one back for the new year, first one back in this series, I just wanted to share something. It was more of an experience, really, about how I enjoyed the parks more on my last trip just before Christmas. With so much to do and the stress of Genie Plus, I had Genie Plus for a few days, but I found with Genie Plus, I'm constantly just trying to get on one attraction to the next. The days without Genie Plus were the better days. We just took it in our stride. There's an attraction that we fancied going on. We saw what the queue was like, 20 minutes, 40 minutes. Okay, let's just get in that. Let's just people watch. Let's just sit down. Let's go to a lounge and have a drink. Let's just take our time. And those were the days that we really enjoyed it more, because we didn't feel like we were just there on a tick list, ticking everything off. Oh, yeah. Yep, do Rise Resistance. Yeah, we'll do that twice. Tick that off. Yeah, let's do Flyby. Yeah, tick that off, tick that off. We just kind of like enjoyed it. Took in the atmosphere. Enjoyed snacks. Enjoyed food. Enjoyed people watching. And it was great. A friend of mine who passed away recently left a little bit of advice. And he said, take twice as long to do half as much. And I think that is the top tip for this episode of the podcast. Friend of mine, Gary. Thank you for those words, Gary. Take twice as long to do half as much. Don't forget, we're on socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Give us a like, give us a follow. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. We've got new episodes every other Friday. If you'd like to be on, send me a message at PodMagical. Hit that subscribe button and we'll be back in 2 weeks. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.